Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you're listening to Powerfully You on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your co-host, Dave McDowell, here with my wife, Linda. Say hello, Linda.
Hello.
I hope everyone's had a good Sunday and is looking forward to a nice Sunday evening. I know we have.
Yes.
I snuck out while Linda had a women's thing.
Mm-hmm.
I ran off and hid.
He did run off.
At Barnes & Noble and got a little more ready for the show, which is a good thing.
Yes.
I just was able to think about what we were going to talk about. So the title on our show is Abandoned to God's Will. We're going to kind of do a little sort of, it may seem like a strange introduction, but what Linda and I are going to talk about for a little while is how we are seeing evidence that we are in God's will. And then I want to talk about a couple of things that we've done that we feel like has really helped us get in God's will and feel like we are right there. So I'll start with, let's talk about work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk about mine, and you talk about how you see what's happening for you. For me, when Linda and I married, I worked for a software company here in town. I won't mention the name, but it was pretty stressful. You know, I'd have to work weekends. Remember, Linda?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be leaving home and heading into the office to work Saturdays and Sundays some late nights. And there were times when I was in the office at 3:30 in the morning trying to make sure I had my portion of whatever was being done. And it was stressful. Now, it was a good job, paid well, but it wasn't ideal for where we felt like the Lord kind of wanted us to go. And then, wouldn't you know, there's three places in town. There's a healthcare software IT guy for over 30 years that I would take a pay cut to go to work for. One is the HCA, Healthcare Corporation of America. Another is a hospital management group called LifePoint. And the third, but actually my number one priority that I would love to go to work for, was Vanderbilt. And wouldn't you know, it just all worked out that they had a real need to hire someone with my experience to come in. And they moved pretty fast, which is not the Vanderbilt way. They're usually very, very slow. And Linda can speak from experience with that with her daughter.
Yes.
And I can speak from talking to others. They were amazed at how quickly that happened, but they had a real need. And I am now in this job that is absolutely, it is the best job I believe I've ever had. It's regular hours. I stay busy, but it's not crazy. I like being busy. I love the people I work with. I have opportunities to walk my Christian life. And I have a fantastic boss. I couldn't ask for better. And then what really is wonderful is it fits so well into the transition we're trying to make from full-time working to make money and pay bills to ministry. When we, quote, retire.
Right.
And as I've said, and this is a little Davism, but I think you'd hear it from most people, there is no retirement in Christianity. I have no intention of sitting on a porch.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody does that, more power to them, there's no judgment. But that's not going to happen because we've just got too much to do. I want to be ministered. So now talk about what you've seen with your work.
Well, just trusting God. First of all, you know, transitioning, I've been trying to transition from working full-time to having a business or a ministry on the side. The first thing I'll talk about is, you know, from working in hospice and doing pain management for, I was doing it but really didn't know how to work that. But I've been doing it for like 20-something years. I don't know exactly, about 22, something like that. And then to, first of all, come up with this idea, which was not, I feel like I got download from God as I look back on it, to like, hey, you've been doing pain management for a long time. You're a coach and you do the counseling. Why don't you manage or do pain management coaching for people who have chronic pain. You've already been doing this pretty much as a hospice nurse for a long time. So, you know, came up with some things that I had learned over the years that works for people. And with pain management coaching, what I'm doing is just kind of really helping people with complementary therapy that have chronic pain that work with their pain medicine. So, you know, taking that and then coming up with the idea, and then things just opened for me. A couple of pain management doctors incorporated. I'm incorporating it in my job. And I'm not going to go into a lot of depth about that, but just being abandoned to the will of God, that first of all, to even think about trying to do it and then have the opportunity present themselves to me.
But it hasn't, I mean, who had the idea of pain management? Was it you or a doctor first? Did they come to you, or did you didn't go to them? They came to you.
Well, no, the pain management doctors, I knew them.
Right.
And
but it was there.
It was there.
And that's
thing.
What to me, yeah. That's kind of like, wow. You know, and it's turned into quite a nice piece of business.
It has turned into a good business for me. And actually now I feel like just things are opening up. And I feel like it's the will of God that I came up with that idea. And it might be other people, and I have heard of other people, nurses especially around the country that are doing it. But in our area, I think right now, and it is another nurse interested in doing it, I'm the only one doing it in our area.
Yeah,
but that was a download from
my, my point that I really, if you don't mind, leading you here a little bit, is that the fact that it's how it's just kind of fallen into your life. The doctors have called you. They've come to you. And your goal was to spend less time doing hospice nursing and more time doing your own pain management, personal coaching. And it just feels like the Lord has just made that happen for you. You haven't really had to do anything but cooperate.
Really, I mean, really, it has been a journey of just allowing the Lord to watch him work, actually, because things have opened up. But you know what? I do want to say it was years of preparation for this.
Yeah.
And I feel like even in that time, and I remember hearing from the Lord, you're in preparation. And to the point where as I was working in my business and really not really having a definitive plan, but kind of knowing what I wanted to do, I really now can look back and say, oh, those were all those years you had me in preparation that I was like, Lord, I'm tired of preparing. I mean, what am I preparing for? How come it ain't coming to fruition? But, you know, now I can see. So sometimes abandoning your will to the will of God, you may have to wait for something as he prepares you for the next level.
Yeah. So what I want to keep coming back to is what I want people to hear is, let me give you an example. Here's a I'm quote the CEO. We kind of laugh about this because it's just the two of us, you know. But I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is a CEO's dream. You have people doing their marketing on your pain management. You have them out talking to customers. And then they just call you and tell you to come in and you make, you know, X dollars and you are ministering to people. You feel good about what
I feel like I'm ministering to people. But it was all, you know, staying in the subject matter of, you know, at first sometimes when you abandon your will to the will of God, you have to flow in his will. And you may, like, I kind of had a picture of how this was going to look, but not really have a picture of how it was going to look.
That's going to fit real good in our conversation.
Yeah, but I had to abandon it, and he kept on developing the picture more for me.
Let's come back to that. So that's one, our work.
Mm-hmm.
What Linda's doing, what it just seems to fit.
Mm-hmm.
So well, and we didn't make it happen.
Mm-mm.
That's one thing. Then here's another one, and this is a small thing. When we first got, when we were, I don't even know if we were married yet, but we were looking for apartments and where we were going to go. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, we go to an apartment in the Cool Springs area of Nashville. We're ready to sign the lease, and they're not open.
Mm-hmm.
That night, your daughter called you and was stressed and worry because she's going to school in downtown Nashville and doesn't, at that point, wasn't driving on her own. And, you know, we just did a quick turnaround and said, oh, well, then we're going to rent on the West End so she can ride the bus or we can take her, and we're going to lessen that stress on her. I feel like that was just a God thing.
I feel like it was, too, because we would have moved in another area, and I feel like that worked out. She thanks us.
It
would have
been way
too
much for us.
You know, and Chastity does have vision problems, so it was really, we were able to help and at a really needed time.
But that's just one part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did that happen, but we moved into the coolest area in Nashville. It was a lot of fun living on the West End.
It was.
We were
right
there next to Parks, Vanderbilt. We're downtown in 10 minutes for anything that we wanted to do. And it was a lot of fun living that, quote, sort of urban lifestyle.
Yeah, I loved it for the time we had.
And then I got the job at Vanderbilt, and my commute was less than a mile. And I always felt like, oh, Lord, you are so complete. You don't, you know, your timing on all this, and that builds our faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a couple of things. Here's another one. Our house.
Mm-hmm.
Linda and I, once Chastity, you know, got her master's degree, was kind of, you know, we knew she was going to, you know, move out or at least go to work full time. We'd already been talking about this, that we really needed to make an investment and not just keep paying rent. I don't know how many houses we looked at. I know we put at least 5 or 6 contracts in, and they kept blowing them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just, for whatever reason, we won't go there. In this process, there was one house that we had looked at that we said, oh, that's a good second choice, and
mm-hmm.
we moved on.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember what the first choice was, but
we
it must have been something else to beat this one.
Oh, yeah. It was a very nice. But I don't remember. I can't remember anything about it. We talked about that the other night.
You know, we were down to the wire. Well, not down to the wire, but we were about to the place where I guess we're just going to have to buy one of these new houses that I don't think are built well, and I don't think there's good value in them, and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, let's wait. I just don't believe that's what God wants for us. And then we came, you know, and we called our realtor and we said, hey, you remember that house we looked at 2 months ago or 8 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago? He said, yeah. I said, we're ready. We want to make an offer on that. He goes and calls, and it had been taken off the market. And listen, any house, how it didn't sell in this real estate market is a mystery that I can only explain by God. I really believe he set that house aside and waited for us.
Mm-hmm.
We made an offer. We didn't have to compete with any other offers. We didn't have to compete with any other contracts. And this house is perfect. The more we live in, the happier we are. We have things that we would have never had. And we look back on all those other choices that came before this one, and we go, I'm so glad we got here.
Mm-hmm.
We have features in this house. Linda's able to have an office. I'm able to have an office. We have a deck that is just, it's become our prayer spot. God speaks to both of us on the deck because it's just so, it's private. We're in the middle of a subdivision, but the way this house is located, it's very private. And we have the best, we have church out there. I don't know how many times.
Yes, all the time.
And to me, that's just God's planning and looking after us and putting pieces together and prepping things. And even the owner of this house was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Was just ready, you know. It's kind of almost hard to explain, but I believe that was God doing things. And we've had other, there's lots of other things. I will just, in this little intro with, and Linda, I want you to give your comments on this, have never felt more spiritually healthy. I have never felt so centered. I have never felt so peaceful, secure, and content, or satisfied. I'm not content. I want to keep growing, so I'm not complacent. I believe there's more. It's coming, and I can't wait. But I am relaxed. like I have never been relaxed before. What about, what would you say?
I think at this point in my life, I've been through a lot, too much to even go through. And so this part of my life has really settled, and I settled in the Lord, and my relationship with God has just, it's so cool, you know. And I have lows and highs, but I really found that when I am, and I love the title, abandoned to his will. When I am abandoned to his will, I can relax even more. You know, I can just be, you know, God got this, you know.
But how is it different now than it's been in the past? How would you say? I can say how I would feel.
Yeah.
Let's see how
and
you feel.
Now, you know, after you're close to 60, so I'm 58 years old, I've had to go through stages in my life where I was trying to make things happen. I've got to do this. I have this goal and all of that. And not that I don't have goals and everything, but it's not that things, I don't try to make things happen or anything like that, but it is not the fervor, you know, like, oh, my God, I got to do this, I got to do that.
The fervor,
thank you. It's not the fervor when I...
You don't feel pushed.
I don't feel pushed. I feel like it will get done, you know, and God is with me, and I just don't get all worked up like I used to. Now, I will, again, I always say some of that I think...
On Sundays.
Some days I do.
And she doesn't really get worked up. She just gets tired.
Yeah. Well, you know what? By the end of the day, though, I've done so much.
Right. You're busy.
Yeah.
You're very busy.
So, you know, I'm spent at the end of the day, but that's how I want to live. Like, you
yeah,
know,
well,
use
I want
every,
to be spent.
Yeah. Use every drop of me, Lord. I'm trying to be abandoned to your will, and great things happen sometimes in the middle of the day, but it's just, I just feel... like, it'll be okay.
So you're giving all the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna change that just a little bit, and because this is what's happened for me. I have been surrendered to God's will since I was 23, or trying to be surrendered. You know, we always want to pick it back up. I do. I can handle this, Lord. I got this, you know. And, you know, and trying to figure out, oh, what am I supposed to do next? Oh, tell me, I got to have a plan. I got to know. Now I've reached this place that I call abandoned to the will of God. I'm not resigned to God's will. It's not something I feel, oh, I got to do this. It's now, oh, boy, what's next? And I don't have to know what's next. I can wait till this moment for the Lord to give us, and you're feeling this too, I do believe, where we're just in that place where, and it's not every day, we're still, you know, we're still working on this. I want to be every moment going, Lord, what do you want to do? Lord, what do you want to do? Tell me, I'm ready. You know, because I've reached this place of so much more trust in his will and his wisdom and his timing and his arrangement, that I don't want to pick it up anymore.
Well, and as the longer you live, you know, as evidence that every time I picked it up and tried to put it together,
you know,
there were some missing parts. Let's just
I've
say.
Always said, we pick it up, we get about 25% right.
Mm-hmm.
Let him just do his thing, it's 100%. And I think that's what we're learning
mm-hmm.
to do. We're practicing. We're not there every moment.
No,
every day.
Definitely not
and,
there.
And to say I never worry about anything would be untrue.
Me too.
But I worry a heck of a lot less. And most of the time the worry is fleeting.
Well, it's like you talk yourself through. And I know I think it's a gospel song, Be Encouraged, and you have to talk, I forget the words, but basically it's saying you got to talk yourself through. Like, yeah, worry comes to me. It does, just like anybody else or the beginning of that. And then it'll be that, just that moment where it's there, and then it'll be like, but you know,
but
what he did in this instance and what he did in that instance and that talking myself through allows me to get to a point where, so why are you worried about that?
You know, what's happening for me is what I'm discovering is it's not worry so much now. It's the Lord coming in and going, hey, Dave, we need to think about this. Let's talk together. Let's reason. Let's think. Trust me, I'll bring you the next step. Relax. So it just kind of like, oh, that's right. You got it. So I'm not
right.
I'm good. You know, we're gonna be all right. You know, here's an example that I love to tell this story, and I'll give you the very very short version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is when we bought the house. Well, we turned the gas and the water and everything on one day, and that evening we had water everywhere. We had 30,000 of damage. And we're going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Linda and I, before that week was up, looked at each other and go, you know what? We're going to trust God. And if we lose the house, we lose the house. And we just praised the Lord. We said, thank you. And we're going to get to that too. We ended up, we are now in better than we, the house is better than when we bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And God had all that. And the reason I love telling this story is because we were laughing. We were literally laughing because I said to Linda, I said, you know, our enemy must be sitting somewhere going, oh, my goodness, what do we got to do to get these two guys off track? Because we just said, nope, we're not giving into that. We're, God's big enough for this. Whatever happens, he's big enough. Good, bad, whatever, we're going to be okay. And we ended up, like I said, our house is better than when we bought it.
I will give it to, sometimes you don't think, but there's those old, when I would go to, hymns that back in the day, and there's, sometimes they come to me out of nowhere, not necessarily the hymns, but the words of the hymns. And it's one of those songs, I'm going to praise him anyhow.
Yeah.
And that kind of attitude swelled up in me. Like, you know, even in the midst of the storm, like, I don't know where we're going to come up with $30,000.
Right.
But we didn't have to. I'm going to praise him anyhow because it did work out. And I feel like, that comes.
But it was scary.
It was very scary.
At the very beginning, it was scary because we're going, oh, is insurance going to come? I mean, we weren't even in the house. Da, 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 da. And then we just said, no, you know what? If the insurance doesn't cover and we just have to walk out of this house and say we lost whatever deposit, et cetera, he's big enough for that. It'll be okay. And that's not accepting defeat. That's refusing to be defeated.
It is refusing. Well, and then you come up with options. Well, if this happens,
And then the Lord just came in, and there were little things that we just looked at each other and laughed because we thought, oh, my gosh, that guy was supposed to ask us 1,000 questions, and he just wrote us a check.
Mm-hmm.
how'd that happen? Because everybody was telling me, oh, be ready. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Boom. It just went through like it was nothing, like God went before us. What do you think?
Yeah,
So those are evidence. But what has happened for me is, and it's difficult for me to get this into words, but maybe I can explain it by actions, but I'm going to try words first. So 23, I'm surrendered. And I said, Lord, here it is. Take this life. I don't want to be in control anymore. But then I would take it back up, or I'd make up my mind that I was going to do something. And you work 37 years. Now, when I say I'm abandoned, it means I am totally, I don't even know, abandoned. I'm not, it's like, I can't wait. I mean, I'm looking forward to tomorrow because I don't know what he's going to do, but I know it's going to be fun. I know it's going to be maybe a challenge. It may feel hard, but it doesn't even hardly feel hard anymore. Even when it's hard, it doesn't feel hard. And that's what we want to share. And I think what started this, really started this for Linda and I, was before we were married, long before, we prayed. And we said, Lord, we want what you want. Lord, even in the marriage, yes or no to getting married.
Mm-hmm.
We want your will.
Well, and I feel like abandoned is giving up. So when you become abandoned,
well, that's the meaning of the word.
Yeah, you're giving up. So in at first that's scary that you're giving up your will to
right.
be in God's will. That, you know, and it's easy to say, but to really walk that, it is a practice. It is a practice. It is knowing that after so many times you've seen it, it becomes easier, but it is a practice of giving up.
And we have it, and so early we prayed that, and then when we were married, we prayed it. And then we said we were going to live by life based on three main principles. And the first one is God first, no matter what. Whatever he says is the authority in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our surrender, Lord, this is your marriage. You put it together. We're going to enjoy it and work with you and cooperate and work with each other and all those things. And the second one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And the third one is likened to the second one, as Jesus said, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And we practice those. Those are our first questions. Is this what God wants?
Mm-hmm.
Are we loving God in this activity?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, are we showing God's love to those around us? And boy, it works.
It works. It makes you, when you are putting yourself in the way, when you ask yourself, is this loving? Is this kind? Is this loving God? Is it loving another person? Is it loving?
Yep.
You know, it puts things in perspective for you.
So I feel like we've just spent, maybe get my timer to come up back here. Anyway, our intro, talking about evidence and what is happening, those kind of things. But I wanted, here's something else that we've done that I practiced long before I met Linda and began to experience, and that is these verses. I want to share some biblical verses with you. Proverbs, where I'm going to start in Proverbs and then kind of go back to Psalms, because Psalms comes before Proverbs, but we've all heard this. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I'm just going to read it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And we just have chosen to take that and believe it. And so we do. We just trust that the Lord is in charge, that he really is in charge, that he is going before us, that he is bringing people to us or bringing us to people, however that works, bringing the right resources at just the right time, or letting us work through and learn whatever we've got to learn, because we are learning a lot about our business. I mean, we're learning how to do a podcast, and we're not finished. It needs
to
work.
You can see sometimes.
Just come on. And so now take that same principle, and if you go to Psalms 37:4,
it's not plugged in. It's the battery.
Well, you had it plugged in, so I assumed it had a good charge. Sitting on the side, isn't it?
Well, we had some technical difficulties. But obviously, we are still connected through the program. Our computer just went down. So I'm going to have Day read that scripture again.
Yeah, I don't know where we were. Let me find it again. So Proverbs 3, 4, and 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And what we're doing is we're living on the verses. We are saying it's true. We are going to experience, and we're going to walk like we believe that. But here's the verse that I was practicing this before Linda and I got together, and the Lord was in the process of teaching me this, and it's become one of my favorite verses. It's Psalms 37:4. That number, right? Well, shoot. Fill in for me, Linda.
Okay, tonight we are flying by the pants here.
Well, it helps if you get in Psalms and not Job.
But I saw this Psalm 46, 1 through 3. I'm sorry, I'm having technical difficulties. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And basically, that when you really begin to realize that God is our refuge and strength in any moment, you know, actually through this whole thing that we just went through, and you probably heard that on the radio, there was frustration, there was da-da-da, but you know what it is that at every moment we have to learn how to be abandoned to the will of God.
Let me,
you know, and so that is in the moments when we feel frustrated, when we feel angry, when we feel all that, to abandon that, our will, to his ex, you know, those kind of things.
My mentor, many, many years ago, and I didn't understand. I mean, I did, but I didn't. He would say that the language of faith is thank you. I understand that more. So when we just have, you guys may have heard it, we just had a little glitch, and I'm a little irritated because I'm going, well, you had to plug in, or, you know, whatever. And I had to stop and go, thank you. Going to be okay.
And even because I was getting frustrated.
Changed my attitude.
Yeah.
She's getting defensive as she should because it wasn't her fault. I didn't look to see what charge she had. I assumed it was charged. That's a little microcosm that you just got to see.
Yeah.
Now, we could stay there.
I could continue to
be upset and angry. She could continue to be mad at me for blaming her. Instead, we both said, no.
The program
we're not gonna
is still going on.
So
and it wasn't for
you. Got
you.
A little lesson right there
right.
on the air.
It was for us to, you know, even in those moments when you are angry and frustrated and want to lash out or do all of those things, you have to check yourself and take that moment. I guess the whole thing about being abandoned to God's will, I think, is having moments to
stop and say, Lord,
take a deep breath.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. Help me. I don't want to be angry at Linda. That's not right. It's not fair. You know, whatever. Whatever the case may be, I don't want to be on the side of the road with a flat tire cursing.
Yes.
You know, because it all fits together.
It does all fit together. And sometimes I think what sets us up for that is being able to take a moment. Because sometimes when the moments that you can have, whenever you have your quiet time with God, that's what I call it. You can call it some other time. I think those moments help you prepare for the rest of your day so that when you have these irritating moments in traffic, da-da-da-da-da, that you have that check and balance system within yourself to come back to where you need to be.
I do a rehearsal.
Yeah.
And here's the rehearsal. Lord, today, help me. You know, and if I have a meeting I'm going to go to and I know it might be a little tough, I go, Lord, help me to remember these are people I love, whether they love me or not. I'm going to treat them that way. I'm going to treat them with respect and professional, business-like, as I need to be. You know, it's kind of like practicing your head. But here, and this is me, And Linda, I think it's the same way, but this is me, that whenever we do a show, I want at least one real practical thing that our audience can implement. And here it is. And it's Psalms 37:4. And what it says is, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. For years, I thought that meant I could have anything I wanted, a house, a car. All I had to do was ask God and do all the right things. But we have learned, and I learned, oh, wait a minute. He will give me the desires of my heart. He will give me. And what I came to realize and believe is that if I delight in the Lord, he will place his desires in my heart, and I will want what he wants. And we're experiencing that. Now, part of that's a growth thing. As you get older, and, you know, I no longer have the desire for the material stuff. You know, I mean, they're just, I love them. They're nice to have, but, you know, that's not the criteria. What I want to be in the center of God's will, where all the peace and the security and contentment and joy are, you know, where the blessings that have nothing to do with my bank account are. Sometimes they do. In fact, we're experiencing financial blessing. We definitely are. But we've worked really hard. We've cooperated with the Lord. And so what I want to say to you folks out there who are maybe struggling and whatever is, begin to pray this prayer. Because this is what Linda and I have done for the last 3 years. And boy, we are seeing it. Lord, cause us to want what you want. Well, you can't lose. If your will and God's will are the same, if his desires are placed in your heart and you want what he wants, how can you fail? Now, I'm not saying you're going to have a big ministry. We don't know where our ministry goes. We don't care, because that's God's problem. We just cooperate. And when he says, I want you to pick back up the podcast on Sunday night and start doing it again, and we say, yes, sir. Be happy to, love to do that, ready to do that. And you know what? What has happened, Linda? You and I have walked away blessed every time.
Mm-hmm.
We, just talking through this, are excited again, reminded of all the things that God's doing for us as we share with others. And we walk away at the end of the set. I don't know about, well, I do know, because we've talked about it. We are pumped. When this show is over at 7 o'clock, I kind of have to wind down, because I have the presence of the Lord between you and me and him. I pray directing the conversation. If nobody heard it, you and I are getting a lot out of it.
Yeah, and our numbers are not, like, astonishing or anything.
We do have some people from North Korea. We didn't figure that out.
Yeah. You know, it is. We're just, and a long time ago, I've been doing this program for about 5 years, picked it up and came back. But a long time ago, the Lord, when I first started doing this program, was like, don't worry about the numbers. So it's that thing right now. We're not really worried about the numbers. If one person hears and gets something out of it, that's the whole. And sometimes that one person is Dave or I feel like we kind of learned something today, you know? So it is. If you get something out of it, maybe you're the one person that learns something, that receives something. It's still all in the process of being abandoned to his will.
Right. And for me, I think this verse is just, for me, it's just become my theme, where I just say, Lord, cause me to want what you want every day in the smallest thing. You know, and we are seeing that in our business especially. We'll just see one more step to take, and we'll work on that. In fact, we're starting to practice that. What do we need to do now? Oh, we need to work on this. Let's not worry about the 15 other things we need to do. Let's get this one done. And believe me, guys, we got a long way to go to where we think God wants us to be. But here's the beauty of this. Tomorrow or tonight or in the next 5 minutes, if he says, oh, no, I want you to turn, make a 180-degree turn or 90-degree or 45-degree or whatever it is, and I want you to go this way, we're ready. We're okay with that because we trust him. And if he changes our dream, it's still going to be our dream and his dream, and I'm good with that. And that's freedom. That's freedom from worry and stress. And, you know, so we have a plan. We think we know where we're going, but we're taking it one step at a time. Right?
Right, and I don't feel like you have to give up your plans or whatever, or you can still plan, but I think you have a plan and God has a plan. It just works better. Your life is a lot smoother when you check with him and get that check in your spirit. But when you give your will over to him and let him, you know, direct your path, as the verse says.
And this takes practice. For example, here's the other thing. You have to believe. So, for example, when I say, Lord, cause me to want what you want, and the next day I wake up and go, you know, I really think I want us to go this way, that I trust that that's God leading me. And here's the beauty of it. He could change it tomorrow. And I'm still okay. I'm willing to say, okay, all right, well, I don't know that we were wrong as much as you just decided to change the path a little bit. Okay, I'm good with that. And frankly, it becomes an adventure.
It does. It's also the thing of you have to give up your control.
Absolutely.
If you're abandoning your will to God's will, then you can't be in control. You know, and that's hard for a lot of people. Like, you won't have control. And
it's
you
hard for me. It's hard for you. And we're still practicing.
Yeah, but that, because, you know, sometimes we make it sound like, but no, you do have to give up control. And if you think about it, we're not control anyway. We are not control of our time or of a lot of things. So you have to be willing to give up your control.
Right. And so that's what I really want to leave, and we've got plenty of time, is what I want to leave with anybody who's here today is I would encourage you to begin to pray that prayer and take this verse and say it back to the Lord. He loves to hear his word prayed. I believe that with all my heart. And say, Lord, you said that if I delight myself in you, that you would give me you would give to me the desires of my heart. I want you to do that. Cause me to want what you want. And be patient. You know, it may not happen overnight, but begin to trust. I'll give you a good example. Several years ago, 2003, I had 3 job offers. 2 of them were very prestigious. One was to go work for the CDC in Atlanta. One was to go help the VA redo its billing system. I mean, these were almost like, to me, causes. You know, they weren't just a job. They were, wow, I'm going to help the CDC. Wow, I'm going to help the system work better for veterans. And then I had this little job, you know, where I go to work for this company, I make a lot less money. It wasn't my prestige, but it let me move to Selma, Alabama, where I believe God had called me to move. And I talked to my friend, my mentor, and I told him exactly what was going on and how much money was involved and how if this was a lot less than that. And he simply asked me this question, Dave, I thought you said you wanted to go to Selma. And that's all it took. And I go, yeah, you know what? That was me and the Lord in agreement. And this money makes no difference. The prestige makes no difference. And, you know, I never regretted going to Selma, Alabama. I live in Selma, Alabama, where I learned some wonderful spiritual things, where I got to take care of my mom and dad and see them enjoy the last few years of their lives, where I got to visit with my best friend who lived, you know, 5 minutes away. And there was just, I'm so glad. It was worth, it was fun. And I wouldn't be here if I hadn't gone to Selma. Because if I hadn't gone to Selma, I wouldn't have come back to Nashville to pay my bills. And I wouldn't have met Linda. And I wouldn't be where I am today. God's will is amazing. His detail, his planning, his timing. And there is no way I could have worked that out. No way. I don't have the power or the brains to make that, or the knowledge of human nature, because he knew what was best for me.
And so getting back to how do you become abandoned to his will, I feel like it's a process of first spending time with him, because then you set yourself up to know him. And the more you know him, then you know that his will is the perfect will for your life. So you have to have a relationship with him in the first place to even be abandoned, free, giving it all to him to do his will. So that's one of the things. You have to spend time with him.
So, and we're going to do a program on Christian maturity. These things all fit together. You know, part of the reason I know God's will is because I've walked with him long enough to kind of know how he thinks, at least a little bit, to be a little more like his son and to think a lot more like godly thoughts and have kingdom thoughts and kingdom eyes. So that makes it easier.
And then, you know, being in his word, you know, I think it helps. You don't have to know every, because I don't know every Bible verse word for word and can spit it out for you, but I've read the Bible enough times through and through that if you tell me something, I can tell you, no, that's not in there. So, but if you know his word, then you kind of really get to know the personality of God and know that not only for you, but people in the past and other people, he has done what he said he was going to do. So when you can trust somebody, then you can more freely abandon your will to their will.
And again, I want to share Psalm 37:4 and that principle. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If you're not praying that, I encourage you to pray it. Say, Lord, place your desires in my heart. Cause me to see and understand and want what you want. Even if it's just one step, then I'll wait till tomorrow for the next step. You know, because frankly, that's working for us.
Yeah, and to wait expectantly.
Yeah, and I know that he hears you.
Yeah, when you wait expectantly, you are expecting something, you know. So wait expectantly, knowing that he will do what he said. His promises are true.
Well, we got 11 minutes, but I think we're done. What do you
think? I feel like we are done, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm sorry, by the way. We won't even go there. I started to explain why I felt the way I felt.
Yeah,
no, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I got aggravated at Linda because the battery of the laptop wasn't charged, and I thought it was. Not her fault. So, a lesson right there on the air.
Right on the air.
How you have to go, oops. I'm sorry, Lord. That's wrong. Bad attitude here. Excuse me.
Well,
and now you know we're human.
Yes,
there you go.
We are.
Or at least definitely. I am. No, Liz is superhuman.
No, because I was feeling like, oh, wait a minute now. But
don't blame me.
Yeah. So we are both human, and you saw that, and this is the way. Real life.
You got to hear it live on the air.
Yeah, real life. This is how real life works.
But let's close in prayer. You want me to?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Now you're going to really put this. All right. Now I really got to be right. Lord, thank you. The language of faith and thank you. You know, even when it seems like you just want to go, Lord, what?
Yeah.
Thank you, because you know what you're doing. And if it's not advancing your kingdom, then it's advancing us
mm-hmm.
in some form or fashion. Maybe you're teaching us to be a little less impetuous, a little less quick to judge or condemn or be mad, just like we showed a minute ago. Lord, thank you. I want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes to grow is hard and it hurts and it doesn't feel good and, you know, all those things. But, Lord, I'm learning to abandon to your will. And I pray that anybody who's listening will begin that process if they haven't. And if they already have, that they will keep growing in that, that we will keep going. Lord, we want what you want. We do. In our hearts where it counts, we do. Forgive us for the moments when we don't,
mm-hmm.
but really, we do, Lord. We want to delight in you, and we want you to give us the desires of our heart. Give to us what you want. Give us kingdom eyes and kingdom hearts and walking in love. I pray, Lord, that we be ambassadors for you, and we walk what we talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord. Well, have a great week. We will see you next week.
When hopefully we'll do better.
Hopefully we will.
No, I think it was a good prayer.
It was.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.